I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Wild lost today at an entertaining game. They got a point. They lost 4-3 in a shootout to Colorado. And it was an afternoon game. And Colorado's, I got a 14-game home winning streak. One of the best in the West, and they got a 2-0 lead in the Wild, and you go, oh, this one's over, and all of a sudden they came back. Fiala scores a goal. Kaprizov scores a goal. Then they get a very controversial goal, and then Kaprizov scores a goal to tie it, puts it into overtime. Then in the shootout, Kaprizov is denied, and they lose the game 4-3 in a shootout, but wildly entertaining. Bob Mason understands his team very well because he was their goalie coach, and he's been a goalie in the NHL, UMD, and beyond. Bob, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me.
That was quite a game, and there were two people that you have taught, Darcy Kuemper on one side, Kaapo Kapanen on the other. What's it like for you to watch guys that you've worked with go head-to-head?
Well, they're both gotten better since I've had them, let me tell you that. You know, Kaapo's come into his own now. He's on a little streak here. He's the type of guy that I think he's got to play a little bit. You know, Talbot's played, you know, the bulk of the games. And I think, you know, when Kaapo plays a little bit more, I think it's the more he plays, the sharper he gets. He's been on a roll, the last four. He's led 3-0-1. And he's been fantastic. Like today, he was lights out in the first period. I mean, it couldn't have probably 4-0 Colorado.
Oh, they were hammering him.
Pipes. They hit two pipes. They scored two on the power play, the 5-on-3, 5-on-4. And then he had probably 3-4 grade A stops where the game could have been over. Then they come out and score early in the second, and they get a little, you know, the rest of the game was pretty even after that. But, he was great. And then Darcy, you know, wasn't, again, first period didn't get much. And then he, you know, Greeny bumps into him, knocks him in the head, and then he probably went out concussion protocol, and he never came back in. Francouz played the rest of the game.
Yeah, so we got to wait and see on that, but it's an interesting matchup to start. So when you got a guy like Kaapo and he's playing against the Landeskog and McKinnon, here they come. Do you spend a lot of time as a coach talking to him much about who he's playing against, or is it all about keeping his mind as free as possible and just letting him try to stop a puck?
Yeah, you give him a little bit of, you know, what he might see. You know, obviously, like shooting puck off the rush. You know, they're pretty good down low. I mean, little things like that. And obviously McKinnon, you just got to be heads up when he's going to, you know, he's like an Ovechkin coming down, you know, the puck leaves a stick and you got to be ready for it. If you're not ready, you're probably going to get beat. So yeah, just some small things and yeah, not, you don't want to get that mind too heavy and then you slow down. So you want to be alert. You want to have a little reminders in the back of your mind that when these guys are on the ice, this is what I might see. And then you play.
Now, for a guy like Kaapo, it's probably not a matter of playing well. It's a matter of can you sustain it, meaning he's had some long breaks in between because of the nature of the COVID schedule and getting erased in Canada and whatnot. This might be the first time that he plays, you know, extended games for a long period of time. How do you manage that with somebody that isn't used to that load, like Devin Dubnyk used to take on, or, you know, throughout the years, or Talbot would have taken on this year? How do you make sure they stay fresh when they're going, hey, man, all of a sudden they realize that the light at the end of the tunnel is a long ways out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think Carter was talking about that on TV today, that, you know, when he's not playing, he's such a hard worker. He works and works and works, and he's not, you know, he doesn't, like, overwork where he's exhausted to the, you know, he works on good things in practice. You know, there's no rehearsal for game time. I mean, that's game time is game time with the speed, with the shots, with the tips, traffic, you know, rebound control, all that little stuff is so much different in a game than it is in a practice. So, but you just got to keep those fundamentals sharp, and then, you know, all those little things add up to big things at game time. And then, you know, if you're clean on the little things, you know, you're going to make some big saves, and that's what he's been doing.
Now, in between periods, I don't even know this. Does a goalie coach go and talk to a goalie very often, or once the game starts, is it his baby?
Pretty much, you know, a couple of reminders once in a while. You know, I did it for 18 years here, so I wasn't in there a lot. You know, once in a while, I'd come down, Jock would say, Mace, you go talk to the guy.
Okay.
So I'd go in there and talk to Manny or Rolly or you know, just a little thing like depth or you know, getting your feet set, little things like that. Nothing major, just, you know, again, those quick little reminders that stick with you.
Now, like in the Gopher situation, they lose Jack LaFontaine to the NHL. Number one, before we talk about their situation in terms of a goalie being thrust into a high-profile position, how difficult is it for LaFontaine to go right from college to the NHL and play a little bit? Is that scary? Like, you could get buried if you're not careful right away or not?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's been playing all the games the last 2 years, so he's like, game ready. I mean, you get to the next level. I'm sure he was nervous the other night. I think he went in and gave up, I think, a couple breakaways. I think they lost 7-2 or something, but he went on a mercy pull. And then, he's, you know, just the speed of that game is going to be different than college hockey, no doubt. So he's, you know, I don't know if he's going to get much time. If Ronta's going to be back soon, then he's going to be down in the minors, and I think they're in Chicago. So, I was surprised when he left, but apparently he thought it was the best thing for him and to get his pro thing going. And like he said, he's a fifth-year guy now in college, so I probably thought he might have been getting a little old, so he had to make the move when they made the offer.
So they bring in the close kid, and he gets to play against Alaska, you know, over the weekend, and they split. But, again, you know, you're moving him, you're thrusting him into this new spot. And like I said, if he plays well at all, it's going to be mainly him the rest of the way. But he hasn't played much to this point. Is that a tough thing for coaches to do, is to allow backup goaltenders to play? Because now they're in that position where they're going, all right, I hope you were good in practice, because now it's your game.
Well, yeah, when you got a number one guy for the last couple of years, and you know you're playing that guy all the time, and the other two guys aren't getting played, now all of a sudden this guy's gone, and now you're in a kind of a hot spot, and you know, he's kind of in a hot spot too. So he's going to have to. You know, he played okay last week, and I think I saw parts. I think the Saturday loss actually, he's going to. I'm not sure who we got coming up next week, but he's going to have to settle in and you know, try to get some wins and try to have that team play really good hockey in front of him and help him out a bit.
Bob Mason is our guest, 18 years goalie coach for the Minnesota Wild. You and I were talking earlier, you're seeing this different pathway for some players to the Olympics as everything's been thrown out of sorts. Eric Staal went back to Iowa, and he's trying to get in shape and prove that he's worthy of a spot in the Canadian team. Devin Dubnyk, who people, of course, remember, we mentioned him earlier, he's kind of doing the same thing, isn't he, trying to get a shot at the Olympics?
He is. He signed an AHL contract with Charlotte, and he was down there for a couple games. I was talking to him a couple weeks ago, and that's when Florida sent down Spencer Knight. So I think he played a couple games, I think with salary cap reasons with Florida. They sent him down, and so Doobie didn't get a game. But I think he might be 3-0 down there with Charlotte. And he's going to just try to get that Olympic thing going. I think he went there to get play for the Spengler Cup, the tournament over in Switzerland.
Sure, yep.
Which actually Bruce Boudreau was going to be assistant coach with Claude Julien
until he got hired away.
Right around Christmas time, and that tournament was canceled due to COVID, and then obviously the NHL canceled the Olympic players, and his name has been thrown around to play for Team Canada. So he's going to be I talked to him the other day. I think there's a camp in Switzerland coming up. So there'll be about 6 days in Switzerland, then head over to Beijing. So I think he's one of, I didn't see a roster, but he said he's going, so he's going to try for it.
You know, Bob, you're one of the few that worked. You know, there's three Wild coaches in the NHL right now, coaching NFL teams with Boudreaux, Yeo, and Evason. You worked with all three. what's are all head coaches are like those three? Are they all different in style? Are they very similar? What's it like for the NHL head coaches, and specifically because they've coached a lot of the same players, but they have some different tactics about them.
Sure, they do. Yeah. Well, Bruce has started 8-0-1 with Vancouver.
Yeah.
He probably went in there lighten the load, lighten the mood. Bruce is a real friendly guy, not threatening at all, unless he gets a little hot on the collar once in a while. But he's a guy that comes in there. He's had that success with Washington, Anaheim, and with us, where he comes in and he's just a good guy, and you want to play hard for him. You play hard for a coach, you're going to get good results, and that's what happens. And Bruce has kind of had that about that 4-year period, and then he's been let go a couple times. I think it was 4 years with us, 4 years with Vancouver, and or 4 with Washington, and 4 with Anaheim. But Bruno, Bruno's a real smart hockey coach, hockey player. I mean, he's got hockey IQ that's off the charts. So he's I don't know how he would coach as being a head coach. He was always a pretty good jokester, being an assistant coach.
Yep.
He was like the party in the room. He kind of controlled the room when he played. Assistant coach, you didn't have that much, not a ton of responsibility to try to be a go-between between you and the head coach. And he always kept things light. So I think he's probably changed it a little bit. But knowing Bruno, he's, be prepared and have fun.
It looks like they're having fun in Florida. I'm not there, but it looks like they're doing okay, huh?
Yeah, scoring about 6 goals a game.
That usually tells you they're doing something to loosen the locker room, right?
They are one hot team right now, and I think they're going to be reckoned with throughout the whole year.
How hard was it to be a coach during COVID?
Wow. Well,
because goalies, especially, what we're always talking about, can't keep them in the same room. They can't talk to each other. That was the one position above all, is like quarterbacks. What was that like for you?
Yeah, I mean, I just caught the first part of that because we had come back from Anaheim, and then we had the bubble up in Edmonton.
Yep.
For the playoffs, the play-in round against Vancouver, and it wasn't as strict as the next year. I mean, they played, like I've talked to Darby quite a bit, and exactly, the meetings were less. You didn't have team meetings; you had Zoom meetings, so all that stuff was different. And I'm actually kind of glad I missed all that.
I don't blame you, Bob.
Yeah.
Bob Mason.
But he said it was a different ball of wax, totally.
You played in a different era as well, but are we at a stage now where if you're not 6'2 or 6'3 minimum, you need not apply to be a goalie? I mean, is there still a spot for a 5'10, 5'11 goalie?
You got to be pretty good. I mean, you got to be, it's amazing the size of these guys and just their athletic ability and their, their footwork and their technique is off the charts. And you look at the net now, you can't see anything with these guys.
No.
Their gear is so big now anyway. And then all of a sudden you're getting these 6'5 guys. I mean, Doobie, Kemper, both those guys are, 6'5, 6'6. Talbot, sneaky big 6'3.5, 6'4. Capo's sneaky 6'3. So, yeah. You go back to Stalock. Al was just over 6 feet.
And he just barely made it, didn't he?
Yeah, and he's not he's not a small guy by any means, but he's just not the trend now is it's probably been trending for the last 7, 8, 10 years. These big guys.
Now take me back.
Some of those Pecorini and Letton and a couple of big Finns came over.
Yeah, well, take me back because I got one last question for you. As we go back in history, the furthest the Wild went, of course, was to the Western Conference Finals, and they got shut down by Jiggy Jaguar in Anaheim. And I don't think that he was incredibly tall, as I recall, but he owned that series. What was he doing? What was it that you, is that just a guy that was in the zone, or was that technically what was that?
Well, I was kind of looking at that stuff today. Shut us out the first three games.
Yeah.
Like it was 1-0 double overtime, 2-2 rip, 3-rip, 2-1 game 4. We lost him 4 straight. He was, puck blocker, and he had big, giant defensemen in front. We couldn't get at any pucks. That was like Jake Allen a few years ago. We had played St. Louis in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Jake was stopping everything but leaving a lot of loose change around. We couldn't get inside because the D were, you know, just towers back there. We couldn't get inside to get any pucks. That was the same thing with Anaheim that year. You know, Pronger was there, and he just couldn't get inside. And he was, you know, he was definitely on his game. I think he won the Conn Smythe that year. They lost, who did they lose to that year? Jersey, I think.
Was it? I can't remember now. I just remember going, I've never seen anything like this. It was a stole. You might as well have been firing pucks against a concrete wall. You had a better chance.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they lost game 7 at Jersey. It was Scott Stevens. Scotty was up with
sure.
the Devils then.
Great yeah. defenseman, yeah. Hey, Bob, great to visit with you always. Great to run into you today, and I hope we can do this again soon. Fun to have somebody with your knowledge base on with us.
No problem, Maxie. Anytime.
Bob Mason, nice enough.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.